Okay, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 155. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Yo.
And we took a week off, but to make up for it, we come bearing gifts. Come bearing really good movies, I think. We'll get into that. And we're going to start it off with the new Marvel film directed by Ryan Coogler, Black Panther, Chris.
Yeah, Black Panther. It's the 4 billionth movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't know. I've actually lost track. It's been going on for, I think this is the 11th year, though. Iron Man came out in 2008, so.
Does that count as the first?
Yeah, that's the first one.
So people don't count that, like, Hulk movie with, what's his name? Edward Norton?
No, so that one came out after.
It came out after Iron Man?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, The Incredible Hulk was 2008, and Iron Man was also 2008, but it was Iron Man came out during the summer, I think, and I don't know. They both came out during the summer. Iron Man was just like a month earlier. So.
Seems so long ago.
Yeah. And that's a problem, too, because, like, it's become very formulaic.
Yeah.
Those movies. I mean, I've still seen all of them, but, like, I'm getting less and less excited as they come along. And Black Panther got a lot of good buzz. Ryan Coogler, the director, he director of Fruitvale Station and Creed.
Yeah.
You know, two very good movies, well regarded. This is something different, though. This is a, you know, it's a sci-fi action film set very much within that Marvel universe. And it picks up a little bit after Civil War, the last Captain America movie, where they kind of introduced T'Challa, the Black Panther. This takes place after, like, I mean, his dad has obviously died, and he is going to be the king.
Yeah. So, like, in Civil War, there was, like, a terrorist attack, right, where his dad gets killed. And it kind of, like, movie bounces off of that, where it's, like, it goes to him back in the fictional land of Wakanda, and he's going to assume the role of king now.
So, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, no, that's exactly it. Like, Wakanda is this it's an African nation that most people view as like a poor third world country, but it's hiding a very big secret in that it is probably the most technologically advanced country in the world because an asteroid hit it and populated it with vibranium, which is this metal in the Marvel universe. So it's what Captain America's shield is made out of. And it's this really versatile metal, and like the whole land, I guess, has been kind of permeated with it. And because of it, you know, the society in Wakanda has been able to create crazy technological advances, way, way more advanced than the rest of the world at this point. But they've been hiding this whole time. Like, everyone kind of thinks of Wakanda as this like little third world poor country, and
like the outside world cannot even see like their skyscrapers and stuff because it's like
they blocked disguised. Them off. Yeah, they blocked them off with some sort of cloaking device. It just makes it kind of look like an African savanna, like which is cool.
Yeah,
but this all kind of ties in as you know as T'Challa is getting ready to become king. There's another guy out there, played by Michael B. Jordan, Eric Killmonger, who he has a bone to pick with Wakanda and the royal family in general, and he kind of comes at them, and it sets up this very personal stake between T'Challa and Killmonger. And the royal family and you know, royal rights and all of this kind of revolves around like isolationism and how to you know, how that's not a good idea, and how, like, if you have the ability to help people, you should. Like, there's this crazy, like, very strong political message throughout the whole thing that's very not Marvel. Like,
I think it's I think the movie could work for someone. Like, if you're not tuned into politics, I think you could watch it and, I think it could go over your head, I guess. But
yeah,
that's
something that that Coogler does really wonderfully here, and the cast and everything. This fits perfectly within, you know, as a Marvel movie, as a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Like, but if you are anywhat aware of what is going on in the world today, very much in the United States, this film has some very overt, like, it's not hiding it. It's not being subtle about its messaging at all. Like, it has a point to make, and it makes it, so.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really liked about it. So that's kind of the setup, right? It's like,
yeah.
In fact, that's, like I said, one of the things I like about it is, a big thing I really, really like about it is that it is not about an evil villain trying to destroy the world. It is about the struggle for the heart of a country. Like, who is going to assume power and what is the direction that this country is going to take? That's what it's about. That's the stakes.
Right.
It's not a giant beam coming from the sky that's going to blow everything up.
Yeah.
There's none of that. It comes down to a battle between two people.
And even outside of that, like Killmonger as the villain, he's fully realized his intentions make sense. Like, his reasoning is valid.
Yeah.
He may be taking it to an extreme, but there's a reason that he is doing that, because of what has happened to his family and what he has seen in the world and what he knows Wakanda is capable of. So he feels like, hey, you know, these people have been hiding under their really cool stealth tech for years, but no, fuck that. Like, we need to bring this shit out there, and we need to fuck some crap up. And
yeah. And I guess this is kind of spoilery. I don't know if you want to save, like, what he wants to do till spoiler discussion or not, but I guess we'll save it. I'm assuming by now most people have seen this movie, but
a lot of people have, that's for sure.
I guess we'll get into it at the very end, but I think it's, without spoiling it, I think it's safe to say that his motivations make sense, and you can be sympathetic to the villain here. Like, to the point where you're like, yeah, he's kind of got a point, you know?
Right, right. It's like, you, and that's the thing, right? You can see his point. You don't have to agree with his methods, but you can at least understand why he's doing what he's doing. And it's not this otherworldly or outlandish type of, you know, the world's going to end if, you know, he takes over Wakanda. No, like, you know, shit's going to go bad if he gets to do what he wants to do. But
yeah,
like, he's not going to destroy the world. Like, he's a dude.
Yeah, I have a feeling, like, I mean, even me, I'm like, I was like, yeah, like, he's kind of right, but also the bad guy. I mean, it's cool because, like you said, he's not like this cartoonish cackling villain. He has a point, like, and you kind of see where he's coming from.
And he's cast perfectly. Michael B. Jordan was a great choice for him, and he's written perfectly. Like, and like, you can see where they could take a character like that with motivations like that, but they can make it completely cartoonish and, like, ridiculously over the top, where it's just this sinister, like, thing. And it's like, no, like, they played it straight. Like, he's a real person, and he has real reasonings behind his thing, like, behind his motivations here. It's not like, ha ha ha, I'm this evil dude, or not, like, ridiculously evil. Like, he has a right to the throne. Like, he is following within Wakanda's traditions. Like,
yeah, yeah. So yeah, I like that stuff. You know what my favorite thing about the movie is, though? Like, by far, like, when I walked out of this movie, like, my number one thing It wasn't, it was a very surface level thing. I want to go to Wakanda. Like, I fucking
That's
love the
fucking
setting.
awesome.
Like, just this combination of like African culture, I guess, or whatever, mixed with like this sci-fi shit. Like,
Yeah.
it just felt like a flavor of fucking ice cream I have never had before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's something that, and we'll talk about it a little more when we kind of get into the spoilers, but that's something that is huge here, right? Like it's yes, there's representation, and that's wonderful. And I can't speak to how it feels to have like a cast of characters that look like me. And like I don't know. I've grown up like my entire life, like always having people that like, you know, I want to be Han Solo, sure. Like I can be Han Solo, like but I've totally been around like the type of people that are like, oh well, I want to be Luke Skywalker. Well, you can't be Luke Skywalker, you'd be Lando because you're like the black kid on the block. Like I've been around those people, like and where they're and there's nothing wrong with Lando, he's awesome as well, but just like they don't have that representation, and a lot like Wonder Woman too, where there hasn't been, you know, that to step up with, but also like, you know what, they were able to share their culture, and like I was able to, you know, get something from it, and that's amazing. Like to be able, like, and the fact that it's taken this long for something like this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have people that will point to like Blade, for instance.
Sure.
Don't know. I think this is on a different level. Like, this is a huge blockbuster movie, not only with a black cast, but black writer director. It's black culture and African culture specifically is like kind of front and center in it.
Yeah.
It's a black as hell movie. There's like two white guys in it. You know what I mean? And like you said, I can't know how it feels for someone, but like it occurred to me like when I was watching Coco, even like I don't know how it feels for someone that like I don't know because I am so drenched in ever since I've grown up, the entire culture that surrounded me has reflected me. You know what I mean? Like
But
the only time you make notice of it as a white dude. It's like, I don't know, growing up the first time I saw a movie where it was like a gay movie, like where I'm just like at first you'd be like, ooh, or this is different, you know, like, imagine how it feels to be, just to put it in a different direction here, imagine how it feels to be a gay person and every romantic comedy you go see is a straight couple. This is kind of the same thing. It's like finally a different race here gets to have a big budget superhero movie where like it's not just white rich Hollywood peddling it to people. I mean, ultimately it is. I mean, it's Marvel, whatever.
and Disney, yeah,
But
like
the creative forces that they put in charge, you know, Ryan Coogler is legit. Like,
yeah, and they let him like I don't know, like but it feels like they let him do what he wanted with this film as opposed to kind of getting in and tinkering with it. No, you have to make it more this. No, don't say that, you're gonna anger these people. No, don't say that, you're gonna anger these people. Like it was like, no, you know what? Make your movie.
And you know what? If that was not the case going into this, it's gonna be the case with every movie he does after this, because this movie's fucking making bank. So yeah, I don't know. I guess beyond that, it was getting back to the movie itself. Like,
It's
yeah,
fun.
it's crazy. I was asking. You told me after you'd gone to see it, like, hey, you should go see it, and I was like, yeah, I'm planning on going anyways. But it's funny because every time a new Marvel movie comes out, there's always people the first weekend, it's hard to gauge. Like, everyone's like, this is the best. Like, I've seen it every time. When Thor Ragnarok came out, this is the best Marvel movie,
Yeah,
right?
it's every single movie. Like Guardians 2 came out. This is the best one.
Yeah. Everyone
Ant-Man
is
2,
on
this is
rides
the
that
best.
high. Yeah.
Yes.
I think this might be the best Marvel movie. I mean, I'm trying to think of one that, I guess, at least for me, anyways. It's as good as like Winter Soldier, which is probably my favorite one, other than it, right? So,
Sure.
But there's more things going on. It's not just the fact that we're getting to see a different culture for me. It's just that there's it allows itself to be kind of an adult film in many ways. Like it has, I guess, how do I put this? One, I like the setting. Like I said, that's completely different than all the others. Two, it is about things, which not, I mean, I guess other Marvel movies do try to like address stuff a little bit, but this really did feel of the moment and about something. And three, and you can't sell this part short. Like it feels like it's its own movie. It's not trying to set up eight other fucking movies. There's no other, like, there's barely any sort of nod to the rest of the cinematic universe. It's just like, let's just do a good Black Panther movie, which is like a huge thing, I think.
That was something that I kind of noticed coming out of it was that, hey, like, you take the Marvel branding away from this and you name it something else, not Black Panther, not related to comic books. This still works as a really cool sci-fi action movie. Like,
that's kind of how I took it in. You know?
It doesn't need to be tied. Like, it is tied, and it works very well. Like, and progressing T'Challa as a character, and to introducing us to what is bound to be something hugely important in the Avengers movie coming out in May. But it feels like it can be its own thing. And a lot of these other Marvel movies are like, it feels like a piece in a puzzle.
Yeah.
Like, and some of them don't. Like, some of them are perfectly fine. Like, I think Ant-Man works very well on its own.
True.
And like, the original Guardians works very well on its own. And, like, you know, Iron Man, stuff like that. But, like, this very much, like, I think you could take away that branding and, like, it works just as well. Maybe it doesn't do as well because, you know, you take away that Marvel branding, you take away the Disney marketing. Who knows, you know, how well it does at the box office, but like, it doesn't really matter because it is a Marvel movie and
yeah,
it just works.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I'm not ready to, like, you know, I'm a week out. I don't know. Like, how I will feel about it, I think I'll still really like it, but I don't know how I'll feel about it, you know, 3 months, 4 months from now. So I don't know if I'm ready to go, like, it's the best Marvel movie yet. Like, I haven't seen a lot of the Marvel movies in a long time, but it's definitely up there. It's deserving of, I think, the praise that people are giving it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, whether you want to say it's best or not, I think for me it probably is, but again, it's like, that's also me going, I don't think there's any one of them that I'm like crazy in love with. Like I thought Winter Soldier is really solid.
Yeah.
And had really solid action sequences. There's a lot to like in this that we haven't even touched on yet. Like some of the cast as an ensemble, I think is fucking fantastic.
Oh yeah.
I can't remember her name for the life of me, but oh, Danai Gurira? Am I saying that right?
Sure. Gurira?
Michonne from fucking The Walking Dead.
Yes.
She
plays a Koye.
Yes. She's just like his badass sidekick with this fucking spear. There's a great action sequence in a casino in Korea where she just starts busting out the moves out of nowhere. I love probably my favorite fucking thing in the whole movie. She just grabs her wig off her head and throws it at somebody. Yeah. Fucking loved it. The girl who plays his sister,
Shuri, Letitia Wright.
She's just Letitia. very cute for one. Very charming, funny. She like adds like a spark of humor to it.
I think she might have been my favorite character in the movie. Like, I like that, like, little sarcastic, kind of like smart person that they have going on.
I think a lot of people really liked her the best, but I, for whatever reason, I loved fucking Michonne, dude.
Yeah,
I keep using her name from Walking Dead, but that's how people all know her. Daniel Kaluuya in this, who I think he doesn't get a ton to do. But I like that actor a lot. You know, Forrest Whitaker, I think Andy Serkis gets to chew up fucking scenery in this as one of the villains, as kind of like a sub-villain to Killmonger.
Yeah, and I kind of want to want to talk about Claw and Killmonger when we if we get a chance in the
sure.
Because wow, they are two very good villains, and there's things about them that we need to discuss.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I guess we'll get into spoilers in a second. I guess one before we wrap it up here, I guess anything with the movie, like any little quibbles you have, any little nitpicks?
No. You know what? I came out going, that was really good, and I kind of told you that. And as it sat with me since I saw it on Friday, I've only thought about it and liked it more. Like, yeah. Like my initial rating coming out of it was lower than what I'm going to give it today. So,
mine too. My initial rating, my initial reaction when I walked out of it was that was a pretty good one of those, but maybe a little more special because some of the things that we talked about that it's doing. I did have some issues though. Like, I thought it's kind of fucking slow for the first hour. All of these Marvel movies are because they're so dense and like. And this movie has, like, the task of setting up a whole world, which it does a very good job of.
Sure.
But, again, it's a little slow in the first hour. It's like, and it's a little, like, clunky in that way where you're like, all right, what is this going to be about? Because other than, like, one scene, the main villain doesn't come back for a long, long time. You spend a lot of time thinking, like, maybe Andy Serkis is the villain.
Yeah.
And I guess another thing that's like it's not a nitpick, it's nothing that's actually wrong with the movie, actually. It's like an expectation that was set up for me that like I can only help but be disappointed. But like you and critics and everyone that we know that went to go see it like really talked up Eric Killmonger as a villain. And I agree, but my agreement is like he's like written really well, like and like he has like strong motivations and stuff and he like makes sense. And we discussed all that. But when someone talks up a superhero villain, I can't help but in my head go, well, how is it going to compare to the Joker? And then I expect this tour de force performance like Heath Ledger's. And I'm sorry, like Michael B. Jordan's good as he always is. His performance is no Heath Ledger performance where you're just like, holy shit, this dude's a fucking presence. Like, oh my God. Again, that's not the movie's fault or anything. It's just
right.
When all people also, set it up.
Like, yeah. I think very much for The Dark Knight, like Heath Ledger is the star of that movie. Like
in a way, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But Batman is he's the hero, but he is like I think a secondary character as you know for the majority of that film. Whereas here, this is very much T'Challa's story, and Killmonger is that secondary character. So it's hard to compare the two. Like, I mean, it is easy to go like, oh, you know, they're both comic book villains, but I think they're both going for something very different, which is what makes The Dark Knight very special. And this does kind of fit in a little bit with that, like, you know. They said, like, this fits perfectly within the Marvel Universe, and that's because it kind of sticks the formula in a lot of ways, but it adds so much on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah, again, and it's just, I mean, if you on paper, Killmonger's a better written villain than the Joker, although the Joker represents something different in that you're not supposed to understand what he's doing, you know?
Right.
He's not supposed to be written, he's supposed to be this question mark, yeah.
Yeah, the Joker's motivations are not like very clear. Like he is about chaos and anarchy, and
yeah, he's a force of nature. Like he's chaos. So yeah, I mean, like I said, that's just I go in with this expectation, like oh, well, I'm going to see the next best villain that I've ever seen, and it was just like, no, I get what people are saying. He's a like a well written villain that makes sense, and I think Michael B. Jordan does good in it. But like, yeah, his performance is nothing like. it's not like some crazy fucking thing like Heath Ledger did.
Sure.
Overall, this movie's a fun time. It's, like I said, it's a little slow starting off, but, you know, my final thoughts are kind of what I said at the top. It's kind of almost self-contained. It's entertaining. It's about something. It's smart. And it's different. And it has a setting that, like, dude, I wanted fucking, like, I want Wakanda land at fucking Disney World now. So, and, like, it would fit in so perfect in Animal Kingdom. They have an Africa section. Anyways, I don't think, though, if I'll be getting that, but it would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll at least be a bunch of Black Panther shit around it next time I go. So, yeah. So, before we talk any spoilers you wanted to talk, what is your verdict, Chris?
So I came out thinking it was really good, and as I thought more about it and what it kind of means for, you know, filmmaking, how it broke some barriers and it maybe not broke barriers, but definitely shattered industry
misconceptions.
Industry preconceptions and misconceptions. Yeah. It destroyed them because, like, oh, you know, a movie like this is never going to play. And, like, honestly, I heard the buzz beforehand, and I was like, I don't know. I really don't know because
– yeah.
Like, but it is. It you know, it shattered that. I love that the people were going to this film, like, you know, the culture behind it was so excited that they were going dressed to –
I saw a picture of a guy dressed as a king.
Yeah, and it's like, to me, that's wonderful because, like, yeah. That's like, you know, I don't get dressed up to go to movies. I don't get dressed up to do much of anything, but, like, I love going to, like, Star Wars and seeing people dressed up in, like, those characters or Harry Potter and people, like, I love seeing people celebrate and loving film. And that's what this did for a certain subsection of the population. And, like, I think that should be celebrated in itself, but yeah, like, I think everything it does, like, pushed it to a 5 for me. I came out going, initially, like, this is a 4, and then you know, the more I thought about it, and I sat down and wrote a review for it, it was like, you know what? No, it's a there's something more there than just being a good Marvel movie.
Yeah, it's an entertaining Marvel movie, but like you said, it's doing something on top of that, and yeah, it's going to have a mark outside of the film itself. It's going to have a mark on the culture. Like, this is a movie that might have an impact on, you know, not to overstate it, but I think it will have some impact on society in some way. Maybe we'll get into that in spoilers a little bit. I think the ending kind of touches on that.
Yeah.
You know, not just because of that, but, like, I came out the same way as you. I'm like, it was a very entertaining one of those, and it did a lot of things to reel me back in because I am fucking sick of these movies in a way. And for me to go, there's enough going on there to make it, like, to make it a solid recommend to anybody. You did good, Coogler. I'm giving it a 5.
Nice.
So that all that said, anything spoiler wise you want to touch on before we move on to our other film of the week?
Yeah. So, and I understand why they do this in films, especially these type of movies. Marvel movies in particular, but I like the idea of a recurring villain.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they killed off both Killmonger and Claw, who were very, like, well realized. Like, I mean, Claw is very much the, you know, over the top cartoony villain, but, and where, you know, where
I liked him a lot.
Yeah. He's fun. Like, he was a fun villain. Like, and honestly, like, as you said, like, that first half of that movie is like, I don't know, maybe he's going to be the villain of this. He's going to be a bit goofy, but I don't know. I'm along for the ride because Andy Serkis is fucking selling it.
He's fucking insane. Yeah.
And then, like, I mean, just that whole action sequence in Korea and, like, in the casino and then the car chase and, like, everything worked really well. And I just hate that they, like, killed them off.
Well, at least he was recurring, I guess. He was in one of the other movies, from what I've heard. I don't know.
was it not, I don't know if it was the Avengers or the Avengers 2 or somewhere along the line. I think he's the guy that was like he stole the, I mean, they play it out. He did steal the vibranium from Wakanda. I don't remember which film it was in where that happened.
I couldn't tell you. At
But like it was there. I remember.
least, like I'm saying, at least he got to recur once.
Yeah.
At least. But yeah, it's a shame. I don't know that you could say for sure that Eric is dead. I mean, if they really wanted to, they could be like, he lived. Just like
I mean, yeah, it's just like with anything, right? Like you can bring back whoever the
I
hell you want.
mean,
Like,
they kind of brought back the hero here. That is one thing I guess I didn't touch on in the main review where I was like, I did feel like it had a couple endings to it where I was like, obviously it could have ended with just Killmonger fucking killing him and shit and like that's the end. But I was like, okay, this is gonna be wrapping up any minute now. And there was like another 40 minutes or some shit. I was like, okay, never, I guess not, never mind. But yeah, I don't know. I forgot what I wanted to touch on with Killmonger.
He
I forget. Oh, just that his motivations were to take the vibranium and give it to the oppressed people of the world, and you're kind of like, yeah, fuck, you know, like in a way, you're like rooting for him to do it, you know. Also, I just loved his final line. It was like almost poetic. You know what I mean? I
yeah.
don't know if you remember what he says, but it's something to the effect of like, bury me in the ocean with my ancestors because they knew that that was better than bondage or something like that. It's like really like Shakespearean like level of writing
Yeah,
on it. Like,
because I mean, what I don't think what we didn't explain is that while Killmonger is T'Challa's cousin, which I don't think we
yeah, I didn't want to give
explained
that
well,
away.
but he is his cousin, but he was brought up in America because of his dad, his uncle, who he was brother to the king, and he. Things happened there, and he was left behind in America. And so there's definitely like the familial touch going on there. But he was brought up with kind of Black American upbringing in, what was it, Oakland or LA?
Yeah, Oakland.
Yeah. So like he was brought up in like that environment. And left to be an orphan there, so like super harsh upbringing, and he doesn't have T'Challa's kind of it's privileged upbringing of being royalty. He definitely has this chip on his shoulder that he's gonna fucking make it right by fighting back,
Yeah.
and maybe in the most extreme way possible. So, that's kind of why like you want T'Challa to win because he has like he's
I mean, in a way, my favorite take was from some black woman I saw on Twitter go, I was with him all the way up until he choked out Auntie. Then I was like, fuck this guy. And in a way, it's like, yeah, like you're like with him up to the point where he's just like this total fucking asshole about it. Like, where he's just like, I'm gonna kill the king. Even though that's what you have to do if you want to take over
Right.
and
I
do
mean,
it,
like
but.
that's what that challenge is. Like, he has the right to challenge him, but that the challenge is to the death. Like, I mean, T'Challa does spare M'Baku because he wants. Like, but I think the way that was supposed to be is he's supposed to kill like his challenger,
Yeah,
or
he
be
was just being
killed.
merciful about it, yeah. But yeah, I loved your take. It was just right until he choked out Auntie, then he lost me. And I guess, you know, since we're in the spoiler section, I said I wanted to talk about it. Like, the ending, the very ending is very similar to The Last Jedi, where it's like, you see how, like, future, like, how what he's doing is going to influence future generations. Like, they have something to look up to. They have a hero. And he's, like, he's setting up these centers in cities and stuff around the world. Like, instead of spreading their power, Killmonger wanted to do, he's spreading, like, the most positive aspects, like their knowledge and their research and right. acting as, like, a beacon for oppressed people. And just, like, on a meta level, though, like, that's kind of, in a way, what the movie is doing, maybe, because, like, you're going to have kids that grow up seeing this going, like, black kids going, I could be a filmmaker like Ryan Coogler, and I can make awesome, like, you know, action movies or superhero movies like this, you know? Whereas before, like, it's something that we take for granted, but if you're not, like, a white dude, you can't. Like, you don't...
You don't have that opportunity, really.
You can't see the world through that window of the world is my oyster and I can do anything. Because if you could do anything, then why isn't anyone of your race or your gender or whatever doing it, you know?
Right.
So I do think that there's, like, a meta message to it, too, which I really dug. I dug the ending of Last Jedi, and I dug that kind of same similar ending here, where it's, like, kids looking towards the future.
Yeah, I love that, like, in a movie that is, you know, backed by Disney, which, you know, questionable their leadership's political leanings at times.
They're corporate.
Yeah, and they're a very big corporation. That, you know, their main character, like, had this line in there that is very much a swipe at our president, but. In times of crisis, the wise build bridges while the foolish build barriers. Like,
was that in the main film or was that in the Stinger?
I think that was in the Stinger when he's talking to he's giving the speech to the UN.
I don't know why. They should have just stuck that somewhere before the very ending.
Yeah.
They should have stuck that before the final scene.
But yeah, I thought that was, like, just like. It's like, wow, he's just, like,
pointed. Yeah,
yeah. Like, I mean, he wasn't hiding any of his political leanings or ideas behind this throughout the whole thing. But he's just taking one big old swipe right there.
Yeah, and he's goddamn right.
And I mean, even, like, you know, you're talking about the people being able to, you know, kids, a new generation being able to look at this and find inspiration from it. I also look at it as, like, selfishly, but I want new stories. Like, I want stories from other perspectives. And, you know, as I've gotten older, it's something I definitely, like, I try and reach out and expand my horizons. And, like, this is something, it's as silly as it sounds, but a fucking Marvel movie is able to do that. And I hope it's doing it for, like, a ton of other people.
And that's, like, and I agree with you completely. And it's not because I want to be woke or liberal right. or whatever. I'm like, yes, I am a liberal, but it's because it's satisfying. It's fun. Right. Like, it's fresh. Like, the things that Coogler and a black cast were able to add to this helped it feel like not another run-of-the-mill Marvel movie.
Right.
It's 100% positive for everybody. Like, I don't know. Like I said, my favorite thing about this was Wakanda, which you ain't getting from a fucking Captain America movie, you know? I pretty much have said my piece. It's kind of, I guess. But we've talked about this for well over half an hour. I could probably talk about this movie for another half hour. And I think that just shows that they did something right.
Yeah. Like, it's something we want to talk about. It's something we really enjoyed. Like, I think, like, you know, if you have any interest in films, like, you should go see it. Like, it's very good.
Yeah, it's a good one of those. Which I guess is my initial reaction, but it's also something more. Yeah, and there's little things you could pick at. And I guess one thing I forgot to pick at is I kind of wanted at least one more action sequence. But they did, like, hook you up at the very end. There were motherfuckers on rhinos and shit. Like, it's
armored rhinos.
Yeah, yeah. But I would have liked one more somewhere in the middle of that, you know, other than the chase scene. But...
Armored rhinos and like remote controlled airplanes and VR like
setups.
Oh my god! Like
that's the thing is like we could have probably gone on another half hour about shit like that. It's pretty solid. So I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this, you've probably seen it, and you're just listening to hear us talk about it. But if you haven't seen it, I'd say it's worth going to theater to see for sure.
Yeah.
At the very least, make sure you see it at some point. Moving on to our other film of the week, we have a new horror film called The Ritual that just debuted on Netflix, directed by David Bruckner and written by Joe Barton. This movie got some, it was getting some hot, positive buzz in the horror community, so I was like, I will check it out. I didn't know much about it. I watched like the trailer of it beforehand, and I was like, this seems kind of like Blair Witch or something, right?
Yeah.
So what did you think of The Ritual, Chris? Like, first off, I guess we'll set up what it is. Like, it is kind of definitely inspired. It definitely takes inspiration from Blair Witch. But the plot is these guys, lifelong friends or friends since college, and now they're kind of my age, like middle age. They decide to go out on a hiking trip through like Sweden, right? Or into Sweden. And they run into bad shit in the woods. It's basically it. I mean, you've seen a lot of movies in this vein. I think this movie borrows a lot from other stuff. But I think it's, at the very least, doing it all pretty well. What did you think, Chris?
Yeah, I think it does everything pretty well. There's some grisly sequences. There's a very interesting monster design. And they do show you the monster, but I love the kind of is his name Luke, the main character.
I don't know his name, but
I think it is.
Yes,
Luke. Yeah. He I love, like, you know, as the film's going on, like he kind of goes into these almost, you know, nightmare trances where he's reliving the tragedy that brought them all here.
Yes.
That you know, depending upon how you look at it, and I'm sure, actually, I don't think it's even depending upon how you look at it, because I think he looks at it that way as well, but that he's to blame for his friend's death in a way.
Yeah, so there is a opening incident in the film that I didn't touch on, for the sake of just, you know, it's not spoilery. It's how the film opens.
Right. And it's the reason they're out there. Like, it's the reason they're on this hike.
Yeah. For the sake of like brevity, I was just trying to it's a bunch of guys going in the woods, but the reason they're going is because one of their friends, they went out like drinking the Planet Trip, and they stopped at a liquor store to grab a bottle, and they walked in on like a robbery, and one of their friends got murdered, like brutally murdered, while another one of the friends, our main character, kind of stood there like a coward and hid.
Yeah, hid in the back and stayed out of eyesight.
There's like actual character work going on here. Like, it, to me, it, like, I described it to some of our friends. I'm like, it's kind of like Blair Witch meets Stephen King, dude. Like, it has like all like those elements of like friendship and
yeah, that's something that
happened in the past.
That's a very good kind of take on it, because it's very much kind of like the setting and the psychological paranoia that is coming, you know, and having them unbreaking. Like, you're not really sure early on if what they're seeing is real. Like, there's enough good camera work that you're like not really sure if they're taking this on themselves, much like in Blair Witch. And then there's a turn, and you know, it's something else happens. But amongst all that, there is kind of this Stephen King vibe of, you know, these four lifelong friends, you know, have, you know, are on this journey and they're exploring their kind of their feelings for each other and their understanding of the events that have led them to this situation.
Like, they have an actual past. Like in Blair Witch, it's kind of, they kind of come off as like believable people who kind of know each other. Here, it's like there's that as well as like, you know what the past is. And I'm like, there's a real story here going on with the characters.
Yeah.
And it's not just leads to some amazing visuals, dude. Like, there's a part where like it becomes like a mix of the forest and the convenience store.
Yeah.
That he got killed in, and it's like the fluorescent lights are like running through the forest. I don't know if that was practical effect or not, but oh my god, that was an amazing fucking trick that they did. Like, it just looks cool as shit. I don't know if you know like exactly what I'm talking about, where it's just like the fluorescent lights of the Venus star running through the forest.
Yeah.
I thought that was a masterful visual, dude.
And that was part of one of the things that I loved about it was that kind of surrealist nightmare in reality. Like, it's almost like you believe that the guy's having a psychological break if you didn't see everything else going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a brutal movie at times.
The movie, once it gets going, I think it's like unbearably scary and intense at that point. It's where I was just like on the edge of my seat and I was like, god damn, this thing, like they're making this work. And kind of spoiler, I guess we'll do bigger spoilers at the end, but like, this isn't a movie that's just going to tease you and there's no payoffs. Like, not only do you get to see what the fuck is going on, but like, this movie doesn't have your typical ambiguous ending. Like, everything is going to be fucking explained. It has a big, so like, if you're one of those people that hate like those endings where you don't know what happens next or whatever, like, this movie kind of wraps everything all up. Honestly, like, to me, it's kind of like the complete package. And I felt like by the end of this movie, like in the last 10, 15 minutes or so, I'm like, I think I'm watching like a classic. Like, this is going to be a classic. Maybe I'm overselling it. Maybe a month from now, I think differently, but I was kind of blown away by this movie, dude. And maybe it's because I went in not knowing anything and didn't have like any sort of expectations or anything. I don't know.
So you came out really loving like exactly how it ends. Like, he, you know, he breaks the mist barrier and
yeah. I mean, we'll get into it and we'll do spoilers at the end of this, but yes, I mean, I am a person who actually prefers an ambiguous ending where you're like, I like when movies end right as something big is about to happen or movies that will let you decide what happens next or whatever. Like, I like that. But here, on the other side of that, most audiences want something like this. And I think that, like, it's okay to do this once in a while where you do, like we're going to give you the whole story, we're going to give you the complete package, and here it is. And I think what they gave us, one, they gave us a brand new fucking monster, spoilers.
It is a terrifying creature design.
Yeah, and they made fucking Swedish people scary, so...
Yeah, I've always been like, I want to go to like Sweden or Finland. I never want to go into the woods in Nordic
country. Yeah, exactly.
Ever.
And yeah, the scares, they delivered the scares. Like, I don't know. I'm looking at this and if I'm a horror fan. I'm like, they kind of delivered all around here. It's maybe not quite the Babadook or something like that, but it's fucking close, dude. And I'll take it. You know what I mean? So did you not like the ending?
No, I actually do kind of like, I love the final shot of him just kind of,
I mean, we'll get into it, but
trudging on, but, no, I did like the ending. Because it ends on his determination more than anything else. Like, he's kind of And it ends on what's his friend Dom, I believe, is the one that tells him, like, you got to keep going, no matter what. You need to get back, and you need to tell my wife and my kids, like, that I tried my hardest to get back. Like, you have to do it though. You can do it. Like, and you're not gonna fit. And like he does. Like, he fights his way through it, and it doesn't show you him getting back there, but like, it's enough for me that I was like, yeah, like, he's determined. And also, that weird, creepy ass monster thing doesn't look like it's gonna come out of the forest. So.
I guess we'll talk like little spoilers, but like, I guess, yeah, my final thing on this is it has pretty strong like story for a horror movie. It has got like some actual character stuff going on. There's a, like I said, there's a story. It makes Swedish people scary. It has a scary new monster. It is really intense when this gets going. It's just generally well made all around with a real story that has a beginning, middle, and end. I can't recommend it enough if you're a fan of horror. And even if you're a person that like got frustrated by things like with like the Blair Witch Project, I think this might be like the version of that that you'll like. It's a five for me, dude. I have two fives this week. What say you?
I'm gonna be a little bit lower. I'm at a four. But yeah, I think that if you're a horror fan, you should definitely be checking it out. It's a nice little surprise here early in the year. And considering the other surprise that Netflix had, this is a better one. So.
I mean, this could be in my top 10 at the end of the year. Like, it's like I said, it's maybe not quite the Babadook, but not far from something like that, where it's like people are going to remember this. If it catches on and enough people see it, people are going to remember this movie. The symbolism, like the new creature and stuff, is strong enough. I don't know if it'll become a meme like the Babadook, but pretty strong. So five for me, four from Chris. Anything like spoilery you want to touch on? I know we kind of were touching on it a little bit in the review, but
I mean, yeah, I think the monster is fucking terrifying.
yeah, I love the look of him. I love that you actually get to see him finally. I thought, it could have gone the way of he's this ill-defined thing that you don't ever really get to see all the way, and they never really explain with what he is. And like I said, I sometimes prefer that, and I would have been totally fine with it if that's what they did. But this movie was like, no, this is what it looks like. We're gonna finally show it to you. And by the way, he's a god that these people have been worshiping since forever. Like, there's like rules to it. Like the writers of this movie thought it out, And I dug that. I dug the look of him. I dug the fact that you find out, oh yeah, okay, he's a god. And then once you understand all those rules, you get what happens at the end. Like, he runs away, he gets out of the forest, he turns back and looks, and he realizes that motherfucker can't get out of the forest. And I said it about a half beat before like it happened in the movie. I'm like, oh, he's gonna get out of the forest, and the thing that's like that's its domain, like, so it has control over that area and they can't go past there. And I just love it. He knows it too. Once he gets out, he turns around, he's like,
He just
ah,
screams,
fuck
yeah.
you. Yeah, I just loved it all around, dude. And I love like the guilty feels about being a coward and the way like that kind of comes up between him and his friends. Where he starts to wonder if his friends even think of him as a friend anymore because he didn't stand up and do something. I don't know, dude. Like I was like, this thing is like the complete fucking package. That was my takeaway at the end of it. I was just like, there's kind of everything in here, and I can't point to anything I didn't like, really. So.
I loved when towards the end of the movie, they've kind of stumbled across this. Well, they stumbled into the domain of this monster, but they've stumbled across like these people that have been like trapped and are worshiping the creature. Man, they are fucking weird.
I know.
The record player and
I just the things that they build and worship of them too, like the stuff that you get to see early on, like the straw man with the antlers and shit. Yeah. Like it's just like this, like you know, they're wonderful, like, it's very yeah, they're very clearly taking off of shit from Blair Witch, but it was just like, and I thought maybe that's all it might have been, but it was a tense ride anyways. But then you get into the last like half hour, and it's like, no, there's a lot more going on here. They're gonna spell it out. There's actually gonna be some special effects and shit. I was like, all right, cool, dude. Like, I don't know. I was pretty blown away by it. Like I said, I don't know how it's gonna, like, maybe over time it won't be remembered as much. Maybe I won't go back to it, but just initial impression right at the bat, I was like, this is fucking great. I was like, right, I went right away to Twitter and told you and Brian, like, you know, because you're like my two horror buddies, like, go check this out. Yeah, and I'm telling all of you, everyone listening, watch The Ritual. It's on Netflix, so you have no excuse.
Yep.
That'll do it for this week. For next week, I'm going to go see Game Night, Chris.
Me too. I think I'm going to take my wife on Saturday to see it. I'm also going to see Annihilation, but Game Night looks pretty good. And it's getting good reviews. So
I really want to see Annihilation. I was upset I wasn't getting it. So, yeah, it's not coming to my theater. And I was, like, making fun of, like, oh, all I'm getting is Game Night. And then, like, today all the reviews hit of Game Night and people love it. I'm like, what? I already kind of wanted to see it anyways, but I just thought it was going to be dumb. And
yeah, I thought the trailers were good, but I was like, this is going to be like a dumb comedy. But I was like, you know what? I'm good for one of them every once in a while, but I'm glad that it's getting good write-ups. So.
Yeah, so we'll have some new movies next week, so come back.
Movie dudes! Do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do.